Morning, everyone. It's Brother Matt.
Oh, Matt.
That's fine. Only my brother and my mother call me that, Matthew. All my teachers. Or generally, when I was in trouble. Good morning, everyone. It's so lovely to be here. It's been a while. Must be a year, I think. And I think I've been on the plan about seven times and changed them seven times. So it's good to finally be here. Of course, Alex and I bring the loving greetings of the Ecclesia in Waitakere in Auckland. It's funny, we were talking about it last night. Liz had got the reading for me that I'd asked for, and so it's on humility, is it? And I said, no, it's not. No, the theme here is really prayer, and it should that we should always pray. And it kind of says that. So let's just, we'll kick off. We've got two parables with some interesting four different characters across these two parables. And, you know, it's inspired by a talk I listened to in recent months. And you know, let's just see if we can pick some gems out of here. So you've got, you know, these parables are for us. And we've got the widow as an example, we've got the unjust judge, we've got the Pharisee, and we've got the tax collector. In all different walks of life and justified for their convictions or their unconviction. And that's what we're going to have a look at today. And you know, these parables are for us. And you know, Jesus had just been speaking in the previous chapters leading up to chapter 18 of his coming. And at that time, was really no different to our time now. We're still waiting. You know, we have the sheep, the coin, the lost son, the shrewd manager, the rich man and Lazarus, sin, faith and duty. There were some additional teachings, the 10 healed of leprosy, and the coming of the kingdom of God, as we read in verses 20 and 22 in chapter 17. And we're still waiting, as were the disciples of the time. And when we pray, as we normally do, we pray for the return of the Lord Jesus to ease our burdens, to ease our pain, and to breathe light and pure joy into our hearts. It's easy enough to become discouraged and disheartened as that we feel our prayers are falling on deaf ears. And just as the widow would have felt with the judge not doing what he had been appointed to do, which was to listen to her, and then to make a decision. And time marches on, and one of the great challenges for us is to persevere in prayer when it appears that our Lord is not listening to our requests, consistent requests for his swift return. So verse 1 tells us simply what this parable is all about and how it applies to us. And then he spoke to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And actually, the Greek word for ought is in fact must. So it's not an option, it's a necessity. And if we're praying ceaselessly, then this disheartenment sometimes, this abandonment that we feel, will dissolve away. If we're not people of prayer, then it becomes easier and easier to just give up. And who here has felt like that? I know I have. But if we deepen prayer on regular intervals, then we become aware of God's presence. We develop an alert and ready mind. We develop a lens, a perspective that shows us our Almighty God's presence in and around our lives. What we pause to consider in life, good and bad, prayer is that antidote as we draw God into our lives and into situations, whether they're joyful or whether they're sad. Easy to say, not that easy to do. We've all got very busy lives, and I don't see the freight train of life slowing down anytime soon. But regular daily prayer takes discipline and concerted effort, and it's a learned experience. As we see the disciples ask Jesus, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples. But to have the discipline and the mind awareness of God, we need perseverance, and that is a difficult trait to uphold. The great temptation at times is to maybe to take the easy road, to just give up. But the simple message of the parable of the widow is don't give up. Don't be faint. Long-suffering and perseverance is important. And that's how we get to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, God willing. The widow who was seeking vindication and justification continued on her path, and she was not, if she wasn't going to get it. So we would pray in earnest and pray continuously. It's a similarity between her consistency. And after all, when has pestering God in prayer ever been a bad thing? Time in itself is a trial, and as the longer the Lord Jesus remains away, we find ourselves starting to waver. We find ourselves starting to question what we've all been brought up to believe. Again, the antidote for that is to be persistent and faithful in prayer. Verses 6 to 8 says, "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And this is relevant to us, to what our Almighty God expects of our perseverance. When he sends his Son back to the earth to establish his kingdom, what will he find? Think about that for a second. So this is what he expects from a faithful and persistent follower. And as we read in Philippians, "Forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize." So we pause and we reflect on our lives. Do we have that kind of faith and perseverance? Or are we fainting? Are we becoming spiritually fatigued? Are we giving up? "Christ is taking way too long to return. I'm done." No. Well, I would at least hope not. We must keep pushing through and pushing forward. And sometimes we feel inferior. The challenges that get to us every day, the demands of perfection, the demands of our spirituality, the demands of being closer to God. But here we have this judge who did not fear God or man. Here we have a man who was supposed to uphold all things for God, but instead, serving his fellow man was completely irrelevant to him. He had no compassion for his fellow man, and that he had completely missed the point of what he was appointed to do as a judge. He was completely unfit to be a judge, yet he was appointed by the people, the very people who he was there to serve, and which he did not. And then we have the contrast. We have this widow who had the determination to push forward, to have her case heard. She was alone. She didn't have a husband, clearly. Maybe didn't even have a son or a daughter. No one to stand for her. She continued on. She was persistent. She persevered with her cause because in her heart she knew she was right. She wanted justice. "Grant me justice against my adversary." The judge was simply lazy, and also in his laziness was perverting the course of justice. In this day and age, if a judge did that, some of them do, need to be decisive and not ignorant of the courtroom, they would quickly be fired. There was no sense of compassion from this man. He was stalling and he just refused to make a decision on her behalf. And that becomes the epitome of red tape bureaucracy. No decision from the unjust judge, even though she was right and he knew it. But it comes down to this, that even though he knew she had a case, the only reason he had made a decision about it was not because he feared God and not because he feared man, but because she wasn't going anywhere. She wasn't going away. She was pestering him. And in so doing so, it was a thorn in his side. So his motivation in the end was one of self-preservation, because he could not deal with this woman's persistent approach of seeking justice. So in the end, he just gave up. It was tiresome. What does it say in verse 5? "Lest she wear me out with her coming." He wanted to see the back of her. He wanted to get some peace and quiet. He was unjust, bored, and not a judge of character to what God would have expected. She consistently went before the judge to seek a resolution, and the judge did not listen until finally he was provoked. His patience had worn thin, and yet the contrast to God is not, because he's listening all the time. judge had no remorse for the widow until he was provoked to take action, and yet God is always listening to our worries and our misgivings. The message is simple. The judge had no interest in the widow because he was vindicating himself out of self-interest. But God called us as his elect and is never wearied by our prayers and is always listening to the prayers of his people. Always. Don't give up. Don't be faint of heart is the point of this parable. And it's through prayer that we help achieve this goal. There's no way of knowing that our prayers are being listened to, but God is not unmindful when it comes to our repetitious prayers. Do we truly appreciate that God is listening at all times? And here is a list of some things we could pray for. We could pray for men in authority. We could pray for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem, for the labourers in the service, for the truth to be expanded further, for the forgiveness of others, for strength and help in time of need, the development of godliness, for wisdom and understanding, for the spiritual health of our ecclesias, for our own salvation, for self-examination and guidance when times are tough, for spiritual balance, for the blessings of this remembrance of the bread and the wine, and for God's coming kingdom when he sees it fit to send his son to this earth. That's just a few examples of what we can pray for. The immense part of the challenge is doing it, making prayers a daily part of our lives. This is part of long suffering, and though these are just some of the things we need to consider, as it was in the time of Noah, to allow people to understand the gravity of the situation they were in, a nearness of the coming judgment, and then to do something about it. Because when he finally acts, when he finally sends the Lord Jesus back to the earth to establish his kingdom, it will be done in an instant. He continues to wait for the last, and then we'll wait for some more. As we've witnessed in Auckland of recent late, two new brothers being baptised in quick succession. So he's still waiting for others. The purpose of this parable is an antidote against delay or a perceived delay in waiting. And in the end, time defines true character. The longer our Lord Jesus remains away, we have either the opportunity to serve him or to become disinterested. Time in itself is a trial in the sense of the waiting, so we need to ask ourselves individually and collectively, are we giving up? Are we becoming spiritually fatigued? The passage of time reveals our level of faith. It was a perceptive question in verse 8, and maybe it is the sifting of the wheat and the chaff. Are you going to go the distance? And I'm sure you can agree, it's not an easy race to run. So how are we going to pray? What are our thoughts? Are we showboating or are we deeply, deeply remorseful? What is our motive in praying? Is it a prayer of self-justification? What we know of the widow with the judge is this thing. She was resolute, driven, and certainly wasn't taking no for an answer. And so while he was painting the picture of a widow needing vindication, he moves quickly on to paint another picture when it comes to prayer. So we get to the Pharisee and the tax collector, the proud man and the low man, the high man and the low man. So are we on a journey of self-justification or on a path to being the humble servant? How is one made whole with God? How is one made right with God? How, in fact, is one reconciled with God? Job asked that question, how can man be right with God? And this parable supplies the answers, and it was targeted at those who thought they were the bee's knees. They were important and proud and had puffed out chests. And this was a parable to educate and to warn those that thought themselves too clever, trusting in oneself. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. And beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and his statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God. Trusting in oneself, putting confidence in the flesh, as we read in Philippians, doesn't add up to much. There were people at the time who thought they were the business. They were important, and they had their chests puffed out. And the issue with this is when you have that holier-than-thou attitude, you immediately get it wrong on a grand scale. You now simply can't see the wood for the trees. So when you elevate yourself, you do this at the expense of others. And yet we have this man, a Pharisee, a teacher, a legend, well-versed, it would seem, and he begins, as it begins, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector, and the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all of it. Well done. This man was clearly very, very sanctimonious, well assured of himself. He was puffed up and he was like a good old-fashioned rooster. And then he began to crow. He would have stood tall. He would have been in the front row seat. He would have been looking around in disdain. And then he would have looked at that tax collector and gone, even like this tax collector. Well, he probably would have been in the back, actually. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. Beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So here was the man who had truly humbled himself. And I'm absolutely sure most of us at one stage of our lives have felt exactly like this man when praying. You know, prayer, you know, is one of the only things that doesn't require our senses. Don't need sight. Don't need smell. Don't need taste. Don't need a touch. Don't need to hear. You're doing all the talking. Philippians chapter 4 says, once I stop minimising my screen, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. When I originally gave this exhort, six weeks ago, Philippians chapter 4 was the reading, and I had looked down in my Bible and there was a note, Brother Ross Mellies, who was giving a talk on that day back in 2011, and I wrote a note in my margin based on what he was exhorting on, and it simply says this. Which is a very good point, otherwise I wouldn't have written it down, but it says, circumstances in life either master them or they will master you. So that was a good point to note. And, you know, that is one of the avenues that prayer is for, to assist you in times of distress, to assist you when you face trials, and to help you overcome or get through them. So what is the simple takeaway? All those words I've just said, hopefully not looking like a rooster. Pray to God, remember Jesus, confess your shortcomings, and give thanks for your blessings with humility in our hearts. And do this all of the time. So let's close with words of similar effect that will help us focus our minds as we go into another week. Earlier in the chapter we read this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Thank you.